Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and it's Tuesday, February 15th, 2011.
Episode 6 point somewhere over there.
It's somewhere over the rainbow, let
5,
me tell you.
7, I believe, Jeffrey.
That would be good.
5, 6.
I can't confirm nor deny.
Neither can I, because we've been gone for so long. The Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
I now know what teams that go to the Super Bowl, what they experience.
Really?
The Super Bowl hangover. I'm feeling it, Jeffrey.
You know what those players went through.
Yes, I do.
As I stood at Jerome Harrison's locker and he was catatonic.
And he was basically crying.
And he was saying, it just hurts. It just hurts.
You see the NFL Network's, as you kind of creeped up behind Ben Roethlisberger? You looked a little creepy, man.
I did because somebody from security... I was standing too much in the hall.
I see.
So Alex Flanagan's interviewing Ben with his freshly shaven face.
Well, that's
and I walk
for
in.
The show.
And
that's
no, but somebody from security's like, you're blocking the hall. You have to scoot aside to make a passageway.
So Jeffrey becomes a little creepy guy.
I became stalker dude.
So we'll get to that. Lots of great stories from the interview from the Super Bowl and the week before the Super Bowl. You got some drops too. I've heard you playing some.
I've got a couple drops probably.
Are you gonna make
find them?
Yes,
if
you
can find them.
You know, whatever. We just set up the studio, and it took us what, 8 hours?
It was 7.5. It wasn't 8.
It didn't take us that long. We're actually pretty good at tearing it down and putting it back up.
Which is
now.
Sad that we're getting good at that. We need people that are good at it. We need grips and gaffers.
We need people. Yes, needed people. And as
I want a best
I'm
boy.
I want a Donna.
I want a Donna, too. Oh, my gosh. I want a Donna.
She was
of ESPN Jacksonville.
Yes, she was awesome. She helped us get people over to interview.
She took pictures
for us whenever we were with
people.
She
told us that our buttons weren't buttoned.
Did she tell you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She didn't tell me that. But anyways, I sent her an email, very nice email, to tell her thank you. I sent a lot of people emails, basically.
You sent a lot of thank you
telling
emails?
Telling them thank
nice.
You. A lot of thank you emails. It was a great week. And let's get to it.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
You know what, Steven?
What?
On second thought, let's just not. Let's be done.
We're done?
We're done.
All
good
right,
night, everybody.
There you go. Super Bowl 45. The Packers win 31-25.
It was a good game.
We're out.
You should have been there. It's a joke. It's
all
just
right.
A joke.
I knew you were
it's
going
just
to.
A joke.
You're still wearing your cowboy boots, dude.
I love my.
Seriously?
I really fell in love with my cowboy boots.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, they look awesome on
we
me.
We got Jeff wearing cowboy
boots. I'm a Texan. What are you going to do? Hee-haw.
All the time.
Hee-haw. Hee-haw.
All right, so before we get to Super Bowl 45
yeah.
and the experience that was
the spectacle
from
the pageantry
from the Christina Aguilera messing up the national anthem.
There were no ramparts
to the that's right to the flyover that nobody inside the stadium could see.
We saw it on the board.
Okay, well, I guess that's kind of live when you see it on the big humongous Jumbotron.
I call it Jerrytron.
Okay, Jerrytron works. It's pretty good.
Yep.
You know, I only saw replays on Jerrytron. I was very proud of myself that I saw every play of Super Bowl 45 live.
When they were in the east end zone, Steven, I resorted to the board.
Did you go to Jerrytron?
I did, to the Jerrytron.
I even
because
looked.
I didn't have the view I wanted.
Seats,
we had we had better seats than people in the press box.
Yeah,
that's kind of wrong. We were.
Hey, that's what happens when you're auxiliary press.
When you're us, you know.
You're down there with the people. You're with the people, for the people, by the people.
To the people.
We were by a lot of people, though.
We were. You know what?
And what about the dude with the big yellow hair?
Yeah.
How does that guy go home after the Steelers lose?
I just leave my hair at the stadium. Because you can't.
Just take it off.
To me, the quintessential photograph, and you haven't had the chance to see my slideshow. I wish
yes.
you could. Because Steven and I, we really haven't even seen each other because Emma went and had turn four.
I can show you the best picture. I actually showed it. I can actually show you on my iPad.
You could, and that'd be really cool.
I showed it to Ed, and he was like, if that doesn't say Super Bowl, nothing does.
Well, I have one photo that says Super Bowl losers. And
was this after the Super Bowl?
This was well after the game, and it's the very thing.
When did you take this shot?
This was the finals. You were with me as we were leaving the game. There he is.
Oh,
Larry
yeah,
Bud Melman of the Late Show.
Yes,
the Late Show with David Letterman. He's laying on the stairs with a Steelers fan. They're both laying on a staircase.
Yeah,
laying down on the stairs, just kind of commiserating. And it's just beautiful. He's got a CBS microphone in his hand. And Larry Bud Melman, I didn't even get to see the piece. I really wanted to watch Late Night to see how that bit turned out.
Right.
But I'm sure it was priceless. Like, so your team sucked today. What happened there? And I mean, that would have been comic gold. The guy was a good sport.
It's not on the iPad. I haven't synced it up. It's on my laptop.
And then I've got this depressing shot right here, if this doesn't make you cry. Ambassador Rooney in the loser's locker room.
Yeah.
In the loser's locker room, Ambassador Rooney. I tell you, Stephen, being in the loser's locker room, I felt like I was invading a funeral service. And just like, okay, so one of your best friends just died. How do you feel about that?
Kind of like Wedding Crashers, except you would be crashing a funeral, which they do at the end of the movie. You didn't see the movie, did you?
Yes, I did. But I must say, I only saw it once, and I don't remember movies.
I only saw it once.
I have to see a movie a couple times to remember things, but I like the movie a lot.
Yeah. Well, at the very end, when they meet up with like the guy that they looked up to, the guy who taught them the trade of crashing weddings.
The wedding crasher master.
Yes. It happens to be Will Ferrell, by the way.
I didn't know that.
And he's now crashing funerals.
Nice.
He's like, if weddings, you thought weddings were cool, wait till you crash a funeral.
No, you can certainly score at a funeral. That's not... But see, here I'm a reporter shoving a microphone in people's faces, and they've just had their hearts ripped out.
That's your job. That's your job.
You know, it was a lot more fun in the Packers room.
Yes, I was having a blast with the Packers. I was having a blast with Greg Jennings.
Yeah, Greg Jennings would not go away.
I'm actually going to make Greg Jennings. I'm going to make him a movie star.
He would not be opposed to that. There's my favorite picture of
Aaron Rodgers.
And then here's Coach McCarthy.
And he's angry at somebody.
McCarthy? No,
yeah,
he's
look
not.
At him. Look at that
and
scowl.
There's Clay.
I at least got them all smiling, dude.
Yeah. And then there's a picture of the score at the end.
Yes, that was very nice.
There's the guy with the yellow hair. And these are some of Stevens.
How would you like to sit behind that dude?
Well, as I posted on my Facebook page, because somebody mentioned the same thing.
Yes.
He was kind enough when he would sit down to take off the hair.
Oh, so this is—if you can imagine—were you
yellow,
documenting this guy's life? Or
yellow
something?
Marge Simpson hair. Since people have not seen this guy, he was seated at the section above us,
yes,
in the front row, and he was yelling like mad during the entire game. And so I looked up and noticed him, and he was wearing this Marge Simpson yellow wig or gold, I should say, in honor of the Steelers.
I see. So were you people watching during the game?
Hell yeah.
I see. I did all of my people watching. We got there, 5 hours before the game?
At least.
Okay. I did all my people watching.
Well, Steve, in all honesty, we didn't know how long it'd take us to get in the stadium.
That's true. 3.5 hours before the game, I just mingled outside with everybody. I did all my people watching out there. And then once it got to the Super Bowl, I was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was all about the game.
I did a lot of people watching before, but I was mostly looking for you. Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah. I spent 2 hours looking for you.
Let's see. I tell Jeffrey, I'm going to walk out right...
Right where we came in. Where we came in. And so I heard, I'll meet you right where we came in. And he's like, no, that's just where I am. I'm moving. I'm schmoozing. I'm chatting it up with the folks.
Right.
Which is what Steven does. So I'm standing out there.
And I've got some great audio, which unfortunately is not ready for the show.
Nothing is ready for the show. Yes. We're not ready for the show.
Dude, you know what? The penalty for being gone a week and having a great time.
Yes, and it
was. Is that you have to come back and catch up on all the work that you...
Deal with real life.
Yes. And that's basically what I've had to do.
Real life is not kind often.
No.
Real life can be an evil temptress.
And I'm watching the ships roll in. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah? What's that from?
And then I watch them roll away again.
Because I don't know what song you're singing. I'm just trying to go along with it.
It's an old Eddie Murphy bit that I ruined.
Oh, well, that's not the first time.
I love it when Eddie Murphy, and that's one of his jokes. It's like, I'm going to leave you before he ends the show. He's like, I'm going to leave you with this joke. because I want you to be able to tell an Eddie Murphy joke that you're going to get right. Because I don't want you to be like telling my jokes and be like, and there was this dude, and then the guy came around the corner, and then, oh man, you had to be there. It was funny. And the guy's looking at you like, yeah, I guess it was. All right, I'm out. So I don't want that. So here's a joke that you could tell, and it'll make people laugh, and then you could say it was an Eddie Murphy joke. Are you ready for this? Should I tell the joke?
Well, usually Eddie Murphy things involve me needing to have the bleep
sound. Well,
ready,
there you go. So anyway, he says,
I just got to make sure it's
okay,
ready.
Make sure it's ready. So he says, there's a bear and a rabbit.
All right. There's a bear and a rabbit.
Taking a dump in the woods.
Taking a dump in the woods.
And
you can't tell this, can you? You're going to mess up Eddie's bit that you can't mess up.
No. No.
You're trying to clean it up.
I am trying to clean it up, but I can't.
You can't.
Because
some jokes, you ruin the punchline.
It loses its appeal if I clean it up.
Well, that's the whole Monty Python. American beer's like making love in a canoe. But I'd have to use a naughty word to be able to finish the joke.
There you go, right,
There is no other way to finish the joke.
Yes.
Than without using the naughty word.
So forget it. If you want to know the Eddie Murphy joke, go YouTube it. The bear and the rabbit in the woods. Just go YouTube that and you'll laugh.
Wow, well, I got it since I was here. Hope I didn't hurt anybody.
There you go. All right, Jeffrey. Wait a minute. You were talking about
the Super Bowl high. I want you to talk about coming down off the Super Bowl high.
Well, it's the Super Bowl hangover. You know how they say some teams, especially teams who get to the Super Bowl and lose, they get hit by a Super Bowl hangover, and that's why they usually don't make the playoffs the next year.
Okay.
Because they're still punch drunk from getting to the Super Bowl and losing it. And that experience, and it weighs down. You play those four extra games or three extra games to get the Super Bowl, and you lose. And then the next season, you're not quite as sharp, and that's why a lot of playoff teams, a lot of Super Bowl losing teams, don't make the playoffs the next year.
So it's just like coming in second in risk.
Pretty much.
You've worked so hard.
Exactly.
And only to not win.
You might as well
have gone out first.
And that's your strategy. That's Jeff's strategy. I'm
that's
just going to
play
off
risk.
First. If I'm not,
going to win,
if
I'm
I look at the board by like turn four, and I can see that I'm not winning this thing, I'm just gonna go fight and just kill all my armies and die.
It's a good risk strategy because that way you don't waste three hours. I'm the first one out,
and then I'm good. Yeah,
Steven would hide in Australia and just wait. For everyone to kill each other, and then I'm going to mount my assault.
Yeah, by the time everybody wipes each other out, you've got like 500
Steven's
men.
Steven's such a weenie. If he doesn't get Africa, he wants his people badly.
No. I want Brazil.
Oh, you want South America? You want South America?
And
you can have
it. You never let me take
South
America.
I didn't let you
take
South America. You're right. I was a thorn in your side.
You were.
I kicked you in your... in your continental groin.
Man, I hate that game.
I love Risk.
Although I have built a Millennium Falcon Risk map.
Wow. It's just the ship?
No, do you know the ship of the Millennium Falcon, Scott. Do you know that game that Adam introduced us, the Risk version online?
Right, you could play online against
other people. Although I've never actually connected with Adam to play, although I've tried many times.
Good luck. He's never in one place for more than 5 minutes.
You can create your own maps. And someone had done one of the Star Wars ships, and I was like, how cool would it be if we did a Millennium Falcon
one? I think an Imperial Battle Cruiser would have a little bit more playing room.
Millennium Falcon, actually, you know, there's a lot of secret compartments and bays and stuff.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about that? Because that's what we do. Anyways, let's just get... So you've heard the shows, hopefully.
I actually
that we
loved
did from Radio
the shows,
Row.
But what my only complaint, my only criticism,
yes,
is how much stuff got left on the cutting room floor.
Dude. See, you
and I'm not
my
throwing
wife.
You under the bus.
No,
it's just,
Trisha, every day, you know that interview with so and so is not in there. I looked for it.
Well, and then poor what's his name from Denmark.
Yeah,
Klaus.
You know Klaus's interview is not in there.
And it's in the show notes that we have an interview with Klaus, and we did the interview with Klaus. But the thing was, we wouldn't get back to Steven's brother's house until after midnight.
1 o'clock in the morning, I'm trying to put the shows up, people, okay?
So he's editing the shows.
And I've got to edit all these different interviews.
Unlike this show, which is one giant stream of unconsciousness.
Yes.
That's my own joke. I just made that up.
You got to stop and you interview somebody and then you stop and you save that file and you come back and you interview somebody else. And then we actually do our show and then we got to kind of like pause and okay, this is where I'll put this interview.
And we'll try to remember what we talked about during that.
You know what?
And make it cogent.
Look, so anyways.
So we have a whole show coming.
Here's what I've done.
It's just the cutting room floor.
That is correct. There is
there's great stuff in it. It's not like it wasn't good.
There is a ton of stuff that is coming up from interviews that we did that we didn't put up Kevin Bacow.
I know.
Who's the NFL alumni.
He's got a sci-fi book.
Written a book called The Ultimate Game, and a lot of the proceeds from his book are going to NFL alumni.
Yeah.
To help the old veterans.
So we totally want to support that, but that got left on the floor.
It did.
There's still interviews I can't find, Steven, off my
Trisha
recorder.
I think said... Dan Crisman, the man that's been to
every
all
Super Bowl and yesterday lost one of his buddies.
Oh, I heard that.
Isn't that sad?
That is very sad.
But how weird. The guy was a
and his buddy didn't
fan.
Even get to go to
He's
Super Bowl.
He's a cheesehead. He could not make this game because he was too sick and his family wouldn't let him go. So he watched it from the hospital with his family and then he passes away a week later.
That just makes me sad. That you know what, you should have let him get to 45. And then, you know.
Well, here's the piece with Dan that we ran. Okay, why don't we do that? We'll run the piece with Dan right now.
Tickets have gotten, I'm sure, more expensive.
Just a tad.
Just a little bit as the years
well,
have progressed.
Well, yes. Super Bowl I, I think the price range was $10 and $12.
$10 and $12. That's fantastic.
$12 to get to the Super Bowl.
You can't, even get a candy bar for $12 at the Super Bowl anymore.
That's
true.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners who
are from the UK?
Who are from the UK who obviously might not be able to get over here to experience the Super Bowl. What would you have to say to them?
Well, it's the World Cup of American football, I think. And it's something that everybody ought to do once in their life. And I do want to say hello to my daughter who lives outside of London near Greenwich. And she's going to be on a plane in the next 24 hours heading here. So
outstanding. Hope the weather holds
up. Hi, Sharon.
Very nice. Don Crisman, thank you so much for being with us.
Enjoy that. We certainly hope you get to that 50. That's right, that 50. What I was saying is he mentioned earlier, Jeff, he wants to make 50.
Well, this wasn't the whole. This was a segment interview that I did for Sky Sports.
And basically what he said is that he wants to hit 50. At that point, he will be 79 years old, and then he will be done.
Yeah. Well, this year was nice. Remember, he was seated in front of us at the Black Eyed Peas press conference.
Yes.
And he had his son with him, which was nice. So Visa is now taking it upon themselves to help out.
Yeah.
And to say, you know what? You've sacrificed so much to be able to come to all these games. We're going to make it a little easier. We're going to pay your way. Bring some family out with you if you want and have a good time.
Well, that's really cool. And Visa, if you're listening, more specifically, Nancy, how you doing?
Hi, Nancy.
I would be more than happy to, go Steven to a Super Bowl on Visa's behalf.
We would be more than happy to be part of Team Visa.
Yes, Team Visa. And, you know, you send us wherever you, any sporting event you want to send us to, we will be there and we will cover it on behalf of Visa.
Well, we can already cover it on behalf of Sky Sports News Radio. The problem is that it's our dime.
That's the problem.
So we're looking for someone to pick up the dime.
There's the rub.
And then to add, I don't know, a few other dimes to it to pay us. And then we've achieved nirvana.
Okay. Jeff goes a little step further and then a little step further.
I push things?
Yeah.
Just a little.
Dan was great. It was nice to talk to him. And that all came about because I saw him. He was interviewing with the ESPN Florida. And then after he was done there, I was like, hey, Dan, you've been every game. How's it going? And then Nancy from Visa said, would you like to interview him? And we're like, yes, bring him on over. And she brought him over. And then not only did we get him, we got Nastia Lukin.
Oh, my gosh. Nastia Lukin. Okay. In all honesty,
yes.
Did you know who she was?
No.
Thank you for being honest.
Yes.
That's what it feels like to be me every day. Okay?
Can I tell the story about the next day after Nastia?
Oh, I've got lots of stories. Right. So you can tell. So, again, so but just know there is one of the most famous humans on Earth, and Steven was oblivious of her presence, and so was I. And this lady from Visa is like, Nancy, she's like, do you want to have Nastia Lukin on next? Sure. What does she do? Well, she's a 5-time Olympic medalist.
Well, I didn't know. Once she said she was an Olympian and a gymnast,
yeah,
I knew that because Trisha makes me watch all the gymnastics.
My mom has gotten my family, your wife, indoctrinated in gymnastics.
Right.
That's all we ever watched. I didn't know the Olympics was more than gymnastics.
Yeah, like I said, the name didn't immediately pop to me once she said she was an Olympic gymnast.
Dee Dee had a fit that I didn't know who it was.
Really?
She's like, seriously? She gives me the same look that you give me all the time about a song or something like that. Like, seriously?
Okay.
And I'm like, no, hon, I have no idea. She says, you don't remember the thing at the Olympics? She won the freaking gold
with
medal.
The thing, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like,
okay,
no,
whatever.
No.
Cool.
It
was great. And it was great talking to her.
No, she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was.
The bundle of energy.
And the fact that she actually reminded me of Chrissy. I thought she was going to say Spirit.
Spirit, yeah, she has Spirit.
And then Strahan comes in and jacks our interview.
That was awesome. He's got gigantic, freaky Michael Strahan coming over, grabbing a microphone.
And kiss the little.
And then what I loved was Strahan's handlers, like, you don't have him signed up for this slot.
And we're like, he stopped here.
He started it. We're not doing anything.
I mean, if he's going to jack our interview and take a microphone, we're going to ask him questions.
And all he wanted was her phone because he wanted to forward pictures of himself to his own phone from her phone.
We were at
the party. Did you still have that picture of the guy with the thing?
I got to see that picture now. That's cool.
Yeah, you can't imagine a little gymnast with gigantic Michael Strahan. That's pretty funny stuff.
As
it was, the picture of she and us.
Yes.
It was pretty funny.
She
looks
kind
of lost between
She
this.
Is very tiny.
Where did those pictures, are those just on Facebook or what?
I put them on Facebook. They're coming to the website.
Coming to a website near you.
Coming to our website, NFLRNR.com.
Okay.
Actually, I want you to. And actually what I'm doing for show donors is actually even a little bit cooler because not only are we taking the video. Oh, because we took video of a lot of these interviews.
Before you promised things, did you dump my camera?
No.
Okay. Because there's not nearly as much as I hoped there was.
Well, I've already got a ton.
Okay.
I mean, the Marissa Miller.
Really important. I don't have the video of Marissa Miller.
Okay. Well, I've got it.
Okay. That's good.
So anyways, that's what I'm talking about.
Got the Sandler thing. Thank God.
I'm slicing in the audio of the interview along to go with the video. And I'm just going to tighten it up, make a nice, you know, little 2-3 minutes of each person. Then I'm going to put it up, and then right above the video will be the picture, and you can hear.
So let's see how he does here. Steve is, he's not. Wow! Wow! That was good!
Number four.
Isn't that beautiful?
Who was that?
No, he didn't make it. Wide right.
Wide right. You and Mike Smith. Mike Smith yesterday.
He had a bad angle on it.
Mike Smith. Yes.
And now I'm jumping ahead of my little video
here.
You.
And
there's Sandler.
Pathetic.
I'm right. Jennifer Aniston and Brooke in this movie.
Yeah, no. In real life, you know they don't talk to me.
So that's the little movie I made.
Yes.
Of just Steve Wise and Adam Sandler. And that took me way too long. So
you see,
I'm not good at these things.
All right. Well, we're going to get all that stuff. I'm going to get stuff to show donors.
I don't have much.
But what I'm also going to do is just going to take like little snippets, like the best of Dan Patrick and the best of Adam Sandler. I'm going to put it together and then just put the picture that we took with them.
That's
and
cool.
Then underneath, and then you can hear and see.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There you go.
Hey, Steven, here's something I noticed that occurred to me that you're going to now be, oh, my God, how did I not know this?
How did I not know it?
You should have had the remote for the camera. Not because I'm incompetent, but because it was so much closer to you.
Yes.
I could not see the display.
I
want to
say no comment, because after I saw the Martine Grammatica one, I was like...
I'm reaching up to record.
The funny thing is,
I
see you.
Well,
I'm like, don't press it. Don't press it. There goes Martine Grammatica, the first guy to make the kick.
Yeah. He was cool.
David started rolling on the floor.
Yeah, I know.
He's like,
you guys throw me under the bus. The fact is, I could not see the red or green light from 7 feet away, Steven, and neither could you. But you were right next to it. So if you had had the remote, you could have hit record, and you would have known that it was recording or not.
Yeah, well, you know.
And these are things we
learn.
These are things we learn. I mean, that was our first Super Bowl.
I definitely believe next season we are taking a producer of some kind with us.
Not only are we taking a producer, there's so many things we're going to do better. And I felt like we had a great time and a great experience.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I know, but I'm like, but we can do better.
We're doing
the
paper football again. It was classic.
Dude, I bounced
Marissa
it off.
Marissa Miller kicking it behind her.
How that's possible? Do you have to have really freakishly long fingers to actually make it go backwards?
No idea. I don't even know how the physics
on that
works.
And then all
the
guys want to make the joke like, oh, I bet she did so you could bend down and look. And we're like, no.
No.
Think about it. She kicked it behind her. We're not talking about her behind. We're talking about the physics involved of taking a triangular-shaped paper football and booting it behind you with your finger. That doesn't... Did it hit an air vent and get blown backwards? How did this happen?
It was awesome. And then Eric Berry, rookie safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, saying, this is the football, man. That football's not right.
That football's jacked.
Like, yeah, blame the football. Here, give it to me,
and
buddy.
And Steven
give
makes it every
smack.
Freaking time.
I mean, like, oh, okay, it's not the football.
Yeah, but Steven, you rolled the football. You roll your own. So maybe
okay,
you got a preference to the left or the right. I don't know. We had a lot of wide right. We didn't have a lot of wide left.
Dallas Clark went left.
I love Dallas Clark.
Yeah, Dallas Clark was pretty
cool.
Gosh,
what a cool guy.
I don't have three scars in his wrist. Just looking at that, I'm like, I don't ever want to have surgery like that.
Dude.
Ever.
He
couldn't even shake our hand.
He was such a nice guy.
He kept giving us his left hand to shake.
I know, because do not shake this one because it's got 18 pins in it.
Because it hurts. He was a cool guy. I'm not ready.
We're not.
I'm not ready.
We're back on the air. Okay?
We're back on the air.
One, baby steps, baby.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
You might
onto the elevator.
You might hear little clicks.
That's Steven just looking for something wants to share with everybody, okay? Steven, it's the first day of school, and he's got his whole summer vacation with him, and he's going through his share bag, and he's looking for stuff to share.
I want to share. Can I just share, please?
And Steven, it's your turn. The boys and girls have been waiting quietly for you and your share time. But frankly, Steven, they're running out of patience.
They are. So we'll just move on.
But in the coming shows, we have got some wonderful things for you.
Yeah.
And if we never get to them, just know that we had wonderful things for you.
Oh, you know what? I'm a boob. I'm looking on here. They're on the Mac laptop. I haven't transferred them yet.
Well, then let me play Marissa Miller while you're looking
all
for
right.
that.
They're on
the
laptop.
It's great to see you guys here. I was in London for the 49er Bronco game, and I was really surprised to see how many UK fans are out there. It's pretty cool. And you guys do it right. I mean, honestly, it felt like a mini Super Bowl.
Most of these little drops we use for Sky Sports News Radio, so they're UK focused.
Right.
And we tried.
But it was really cool that she was there.
It was amazing.
I was like,
and she
Marissa,
described it really well.
I'm like, I was there. And I did not see you. And trust me, if you were there, I would have seen you, baby.
I was blinded by Lindsay Soto love.
Well, that's true.
She was right behind us.
Oh, God.
She's so cute.
There was so much jealousy going on.
Georgie
Thompson got jealous
Fergie.
Of our whole
Georgie
love.
Georgie, if you ever get jealous of Fergie, why? You are 10 times the beauty of her. That's all I got to say.
10 times?
8.5?
6?
No.
I'm going to go with six.
No, Fergie don't work for me at a fascicular level so much. It's exotic.
Because you're crazy.
Exotic. And I prefer pure, unadulterated beauty to exotic.
I like exotic, man.
I know
give
you
me exotic.
Do. And exotic has got its place. I'm not denying that at all. At all.
Yeah. Fergie's fine.
Whatever.
And the picture I got of Fergie with her glasses pulling down her shirt. I think she did that on purpose.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
I know. Well, we have to. You should. You took all my pictures. You jacked all my pictures.
No, I tried.
So you should see it.
Copy them is what I did. I didn't steal them.
I know,
like that.
But you have them.
We tried to share them. Something that we're really bad at is sharing pictures.
Right.
We get home from a trip and we don't ever take our photo libraries and merge them.
Yes.
So that we have the best.
I thought you pulled.
I tried to because some of these are yours. Like this one of the Black Eyed Peas performing at halftime is definitely yours.
Yes. Look at the legs
with your Uber zoom lens.
Geez,
and then that one. I mean, that's you. I didn't take any of the halftime because I was kind of chilling at halftime. This is L-O-I-E, Loy, because the other
it's
edge
v.
of the V wasn't illuminated.
You and Trisha and Dee Dee.
Well, look at the photo, Steven. The part of the V is not lit up.
I know, but you can tell that the V is there.
It was inferred. I mean, clearly. Clearly it was inferred.
It's saying, where is the love, not where is your Loy?
Loy. Oh, Loy.
I want the Loy in you.
So who is this, by the way? This is from your library.
Yes,
your photo library.
That was
that God
Walter
America?
Payton's father.
Daughter. The man, Walter
Payton's
man of
daughter
the year.
Giving the Walter Payton Man of the Year award.
Yes. Outstanding. Yes. Okay, I included it in my slideshow, but I didn't know what it was, and I felt like I should be able to explain.
Yes, the presentation of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Here is a section of seats that are tarped over.
There were supposed to be people sitting here, but thanks to Fire Marshal Bill. Alrighty then.
Fire Marshal.
If you sit there, you'll explode and die. No sitting there. Alrighty then. That's covered up. So
that's pretty good, Steven.
Thank you very much.
Nice Jim Carrey.
So
here.
There you go. So that's exactly what it was. Fire Marshal said no, and they covered it up. So
several sections because they weren't even remotely
just throw
safe.
That up there. Throw
they
that
were
up
not
there
even
the
remotely safe.
Yes, they weren't.
And now Dallas had a little egg on its face, unfortunately, from that.
Well, now that we've had 30 minutes of fun reliving our experiences,
our past glories,
and we won't even talk about the inch of ice and then the 8 inches of snow.
Oh my gosh!
And both Jeff and I hitting the deck. Me
my
not
knee,
once but twice.
My knee is still tender right here.
Yeah, I don't feel any of the effects. I felt it when I immediately fell on my back.
Yeah.
Steven
had
the
unfortunate circumstance of actually seeing his feet fly over his head.
Yeah. That was not good. See, well, what happened was I stepped so hard that I went through all of the snow.
All the snow.
And hit the ice on the bottom.
The wet ice.
And went kaboomy.
See, here's the funny thing about ice that those of us from Southern California don't know, because we only put ice in our drinks.
Yeah.
And wet ice apparently is vastly more slippery than dry ice.
That's what hit us both. It was
I know.
Wet ice.
It was moist. And boy, howdy. Didi's like, how do you fall onto your knee, forward onto your knee? I'm like, it's real simple. You reach for something that's a half inch in front of you.
Yeah.
And that is all it takes for your feet to give way, and boom, next thing you know, you're on your knee.
So, yeah, it was not a lot of fun.
But how many dents did we put in the Kia?
None.
That
dense. Kia rocked.
It did, and we rocked the Kia. We drove it hard, and
yes.
It did not fail us. And there was car crashes.
We drove it in places that probably it shouldn't have been driven.
Well, look, this is to the people of Arlington. If you get all your roads fixed, we wouldn't have to go the wrong way on a one-way street to get into a Whataburger. Okay? It's not on us. Finish those dang roads.
Was that the first Whataburger stop?
The first
the
of many.
First Whataburger, yeah.
Most of our illegal driving involved Whataburgers. And then at one point, no, we were leaving a Whataburger to get on the interstate, and I told Steven, I'm like, just go over the Meridian. It's full of snow and ice, and I'll be damned if we're going to go another mile to do a U-turn on this ice. Just plow over the Meridian.
I can't believe that I listened to you. But anyway,
he did, and it turned out fine. The Kia was awesome.
Went everywhere,
love rental
man.
Cars.
Yes.
And
that
a good
people,
picture of Frank Caliendo.
No, that's a good one of Caliendo. That's
he's doing
one.
His Madden.
But that, people, is why you never buy
rental
cars.
Car.
Just don't do it, okay? I know they say, they passed 500-point inspection and everything in there is great. To buy it.
Yeah, if Steven and Jeff drove it, you don't want to own that car ever. Here's the best picture of Steven and Michael Irvin.
And Michael looks like he's going to sleep or something.
Yeah, and leave it at something because you are talking about Michael Irvin.
Yes. Ouch. Bam. Okay.
All right.
We're gonna do
NFL
some real
news.
Stuff here, and we're going with some NFL news. Maybe I need to pump up my volume there a little bit or something.
You bump it up. Bump
anyways,
it up.
The Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night placed Michael Vick and gave him the franchise tag.
Steven, there is so many tags being given that I reckon there is a shortage of spray paint if you go down to your local handyman
well,
store.
Well, I'm only going to talk about the key ones.
Dude, there's
the major
tags
ones.
Going everywhere, though.
Well, you know why?
Well, yeah.
You know why the tags
March
are getting placed right? Yes.
Closing very quickly.
Place tags now because come March 3rd.
Now,
no tags.
Just to reaffirm something that apparently was established on a previous episode. What has been called the collective bargaining process.
CBA, yes.
Has been humnumbered.
I humnumbered it. That is correct. I made the first non-human entity and made it an entity so that it could be humnumbered.
And so again, for those who are new, humnumba is an abbreviation for he
who must not be named.
and that is somebody who dominates the news cycle and does not play the game.
And the Super Bowl just ended in this hour also every day. CBA, CBA, CBA.
It's not CBA, CBA, CBA. It's CBA, 18 games, CBA, 18 games, 17 games, CBA. Increasing roster sizes, additional bye week, CBA.
CBA.
Games played outside of home cities, CBA.
CBA.
Increased in injuries and possible reduction of IR time,
CBA.
CBA. Okay, we know all the issues. They are out there. They are everywhere. And let me tell you, Stephen.
Humnumba! You're starting to talk about it, and I'm humnumbered it.
No, I was changing the subject, since it has been humnumbered.
Can we go to Mike Vick?
In a second here. We're talking about the urgency of getting people tagged with their franchise tag. Because in this non-capped year, which is what we've had, you've got two players that you can actually put under the franchise tag.
Yes.
Thank you. If you go back to our website, you can read my article called the last season of the NFL's last season or something like that. Or just look up my articles and you'll see something that explains how this uncapped year has played out. And that now we're past the uncapped year. You have two players that can get the franchise tag. People that were eligible for free agency are no longer eligible for free agency if we go beyond March 3rd. And so that's the importance of the Humnumba process that's coming up and that really does need to get resolved.
Well, the Eagles placed Vic, gave him the franchise tag, and they put the transition tag on kicker David Akers.
And that's a new thing.
Here's the deal. Vic is, according to Joe Banner, the Eagles president, Banner said that Vic's franchise is exclusive, which means that no other team can even compete for his services.
Correct.
And
but he's set to make about $16
million. That's where I was going next.
$16 million. Yeah, so it's not like Mike's upset.
No, Mike
actually...
He was
at Leavenworth Prison.
He actually tweeted, "Proud to be an Eagle, 2011 will be a huge success."
Financially. Whether or not we play football is another story.
Well, look, man, you're in jail. You had nothing. You had a mortgage, everything. People were like sticking out their money. My goal is this. You had to file bankruptcy, and you still owed a skajillion dollars.
Yep.
And you waited your time. You made $1 million the first year, made $5 million the next year. Now, boom, $16 million, just like that.
It's pretty nice.
Yes.
Pretty nice, but he earned it.
Yes, he did.
He worked really, really hard.
Really hard. And all I've got to say is I want some corn.
Stephen, I want some
corn. Corn on the cob.
You know, to me, Kevin Cobb has been talked about, obviously, as somebody that
trade
becomes,
bait.
And now, look, the perception is that Andy Reid so loves to collect draft picks that Kevin Cobb now becomes expendable.
Yes.
And I say if Kevin Cobb is expendable, you have not been watching Michael Vick play.
Yes.
Because I have stood next to him in a locker room. He's not a very big guy, and he plays big. He plays huge, but he is very,
injury prone.
Very Italian. Okay, he may look black, but he's actually Italian. He's fragile.
Fragile.
Okay.
And oh, my gosh. Fragile. So, Alana and I were watching the movie a couple weeks ago.
A Christmas Story?
Yes.
A couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Does this explain why there's ornaments up on the end of your street? Not your house, but the end of your street coming off
on
the freeway.
On this street, Christmas lasts until the end of February.
Wow. Why?
Okay. Just let it go, okay?
Just let it go.
Alana, you know, brought it to my attention that we did not see it this Christmas.
We didn't either.
We didn't have time.
To see A Christmas Story.
And so she's like, I would like to see it. I'm like, let's do it. And then so that scene is coming up where he's getting his major award.
His major award.
And then it's like, Dad, is he going to say that it's French? And I'm like.
It's not French, sweetie. It's Italian.
Exactly. Elena, he says fragile. He says it's Italian. He's like, no. He says it's French.
Honey,
and I'm like.
Rude awakening approaching in 30 seconds.
I'm like, honey. How would you like to bet your allowance this week?
Oh, dude.
I'm like, you know, if you lose, you just don't get your allowance.
No.
If you win, I will double your allowance.
No.
And she's like, and then she's like,
no. Could she phone a friend? You got to have her call her uncle. And no, sweetie, don't do it.
She was pretty smart. She was like,
You know, seem pretty confident about this.
You know what, Dad? I'm not really sure. I don't want to bet my allowance. I'm like, smart girl. Kid. Smart girl. There you go. So it's good that I'm raising some smart cookies.
Oh, boy.
By the way, she got an award, honor roll.
I saw.
A honor roll. And
Major award. I mean,
and then
the real kind.
The huge one was the Outstanding Citizenship Award.
Yes.
Which is only awarded to one person in the class.
See, a lot of these awards, like Student of the Month thing, every class has to dole out one. It's
right.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
And so and by the end of the year, you do the math. Through 9 months of school, there's going to be 9 kids out of a class of, at her age, she may be out of 20 and now be
18
up to 30.
I think is her class.
There's 18 kids in her class.
Yeah.
See, that's right. Half the kids are going to be student of the month.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, but this
I went and made a point and I insisted that my son win it twice at least because he's at least twice as dumb as some of these other morons in this class. and so the security had to come and escort you
from the premises.
You know, the principle of it is still true.
Yes. Sir, don't ever come to the school again. Have
no,
your wife
Steven,
pick up
that
your child.
Wasn't until Kara came along that I was banned from school.
Ah, yes, I remember that. Anyways, guess who the San Diego Superchargers have placed the franchise tag on?
I didn't know what to do with this on the drive here is when I heard this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jeff, how do you feel about this? I don't know. So, Steven, tell everybody and see how they feel about it.
Well, the San Diego Chargers placed the franchise tag on wide receiver Vincent Jackson.
Yes, much disgruntled Vincent Jackson has now been franchised, which I would think he would like. What that means, by the way, for those newer to the game, the franchise tag means you are going to be paid an average salary of the top three players.
Top five players in the position.
So the top five wide receivers, you're talking.
He is going to make between $10 and $11 million.
You're talking Ocho Cinco kind of bling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really big cash.
$10 to $11 million a year.
That's. I'd be okay being franchised.
Go ahead, franchise me.
Yeah.
Why didn't you franchise me last year, boob?
Well, because you insisted on a contract renegotiation, which we weren't going to offer because my name's AJ Smith and I don't do that.
So the Chargers and Jackson could negotiate a long-term contract, but after last year, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't suspect it'll happen at all.
So franchise tagging him for this year. I just thought that was weird.
I totally agree, Steven. I don't know what they're doing.
The New York Jets have used the non-exclusive franchise tag on linebacker David Harris. That's in the neighborhood of $10 million a year, dude.
You know,
franchise me. Will somebody franchise me? Or give me a franchise McDonald's or something?
You just want a franchise.
Yeah, I just want a franchise.
I'll give you a Curves franchise.
You know what we should do, Jeffrey? If we're really smart.
That was a funny joke.
Right here on the corner of Windsor and Woodbury.
Yeah.
There's an empty lot. Usually they sell Christmas trees there, but the whole rest of the year it's empty.
Right. Who owns the lot?
I don't know, but let's buy it from him.
Well, that depends who owns it.
And we franchise an In-N-Out burger. That location, dude, we would play the franchise fee back in 2 months.
Unlikely, because the franchise fee for In-N-Out
is $1 million.
Is exorbitant.
It's $1 million.
Is it really?
Yes, because I've looked into it. It's $1 million.
Steven's dream come true to own a franchise of In-N-Out.
Jeffrey,
just to be clear, I get all the burgers I want for free, right? And chocolate shakes, right? I'm just... Before I part with this $1 million, I just want to be clear. Yes, sir, you own it outright. That means nobody, no punk teenager is going to be able to say no to me. When I say I want a chocolate shake, they're going to have to give me a chocolate shake. Yes,
Mr. Miranda, you're
going to
own the In-N-Out there.
So I get my chocolate... Stop repeating yourself. So I get a chocolate shake, right?
Why are you going to do me like that, right?
Because I know you and your chocolate shakes, man.
Oh, man.
Loves the chocolate shakes.
I do. So anyways, In-N-Out, and seriously, the location is so prime.
It's a good location. The closest In-N-Out to here
is in Mexico.
Is Glendale, the one near Glendale City College.
The one on the 2.
Correct.
Right.
Right. It's right off the 2.
Right.
That's the closest one to here.
You mean
you're
Pasadena
down by my
City
house.
College.
No, Glendale City College.
Where is that one? That's far.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and then the next closest one is on Walnut by my house.
Right, the one all the way down there. Yeah.
Which is one of the originals, which is so old that there's literally, I mean, it's a traffic hazard.
Yes.
Because it's so old, people park all the way down the street and block other people's businesses.
But see, the cool thing is, here at this corner, if you go all the way down, if you put the drive-thru in the right place, if you go all the way down, there's nothing. You're going down the side of a ravine.
So you can have it just go forever.
Yes.
And just make money hand over
fist. Boom! I'm telling you,
two months, their kids pay the franchise fee. Do you know how much those employees make?
I think they're paying pretty good.
They pay them well above minimum wage.
I was about to say, I think that it's close to $12 an hour.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And for people freaking out, remember, you're living in Los Angeles, okay?
Right.
You have to live in Los Angeles, yeah. So that's the equivalent of
Because the minimum wage
is
$7 an hour.
It's $8.25.
Is it eight now?
Eight and a quarter.
All right. So, yeah, it's 12. I may be pushing $13 an hour for the kids. But still, seriously, that location in 2 months, you pay your franchise tax, your fee. You would do it.
I'm now having just a depressed moment that we didn't make minimum wage at the Super Bowl. Wow.
We didn't make jack. Dude, do you care that we didn't make any money at the Super Bowl?
I do because of the bank account.
It always comes back to the bank account, but
it's negative, dude.
Well, we haven't got paid.
I know. And they promised.
I got a new contract. That's what I'm excited about.
They sent me a new contract that's valid. I don't know we should talk about our contracts on the air.
We can't. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, hey, if you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. All I know is I got a new contract.
And before Rich freaks out, it's not on your side of the fence, bro, okay?
Rich is like,
don't worry.
We gave them a new freaking contract?
I offered them a piece to talk about the collective bargaining, and now they get a contract? I don't even have a contract. No, Rich, we're talking about radio.
That's all I'm saying, man.
And it's weekly. It's like, yes, whether we work or not. Seriously?
Well, we need to check on that.
I sent a note of clarification.
Yes.
Steven calls me. They're going to pay us every week whether we work or not. I'm like, I haven't even read the contract.
Do you want me to read you that? That clause? Yes.
Not on the show.
Not on the show.
As soon as we're done, yes.
Yes. All I know is they want me on radio. I'm going to do it. Like, hey, Mark, what you want me to? Shoot, I'll talk about the Premier League.
Dude, can we talk about the Premier League for a nanosecond?
Nanosecond.
The end of the Man United match. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I hate Wayne Rooney more than anything in the world.
Yes.
And what did he do? He went and kicked this helicopter windmill goal. What do they call them when they do that, when they go backwards and they fly over their heads? What do they call those?
I don't know.
Okay, he did one of those, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's the Pele move.
Yeah,
yes.
Only this is freaking not Pele. This is
Pele.
So I watched
Pele
this,
invented.
I
that
watched
move,
this entire wow. match, and you don't know that.
I watched this entire match. The first kick that you're talking about, the backward windmill kick, yes, was Pele.
Okay. However, Wayne Rooney
did it. I don't know soccer that much, but
Pele. I saw the set piece coming as they're moving down past midfield. The match is tied, and we're around the 75th minute, and they do this crossing pass
to Wayne
Rooney.
You keep saying Rooney. Was he playing your team?
Look, Manchester United is the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Manchester City is kind of like the Boston Red Sox now because they're spending so much money.
All right.
So when the Red Sox play the Yankees... Whom do you root for? You root for the Red Sox.
No,
you
root.
Yeah, if you have to root for somebody, you root for the Red Sox.
I don't
anybody
have to root
but the
for
Yankees.
Anybody. You don't have to make me root for anybody.
Look, what you don't root for is what happened, which is Wayne freaking Rooney doing a windmill kick to win the game.
Yeah.
Like, dude, seriously. And then what's his name? Ronaldo retired this week.
Yeah.
From now we're into Spanish soccer, but
you know what? I was so impressed with Marissa Miller. And
oh,
not just
gosh.
Her beauty.
Oh, gosh.
Her knowledge of sport.
She went
her knowledge
deep,
of boxing.
Deep with boxing.
Yeah.
She wanted to talk about welterweight
boxers. She was asking us, do you know so-and-so?
No.
Jeff was like,
I can't lie to supermodels.
Do you see me just be quiet? Like, just kind of look at her like,
remember, it
I'm
says
not
in
answering.
Proverbs, even the fool will be considered wise if he is silent, you know?
There you go. So I was just like, I'm just not saying nothing. It's just like, no.
I'm hypnotized.
And she's like, no, yeah, he's the guy from Ireland. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And just like, no.
I can't lie to
I'm
a supermodel.
Like, you fool. Just don't say anything. You don't have to ask. It's like the classic Dan Patrick. I watched the video.
Oh, Dan.
Dan Patrick, at the end of the interview, I asked Dan Patrick, I'm like, Dan, just remember, if you ever want me to be your NFL news guy, you give me a call anytime. And I was like, all right, thanks a lot, Dan. He was just completely silent. And I think the reason that came about was because when we started our interview, it was about people saying they were going to call the show, but they never did.
Like Joe Montana.
Oops. You didn't want to give the name, and I just printed out.
In that moment. Yeah. Now, we're back home,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, we're back home, yeah. So I think he was like, if I'm just silent, he can't say that I said I would call it. He was fun.
And then
he's like, don't make me do this again. I'm like, okay. Well, next year. I'll do it next year.
No, he said, let's make sure we do this again.
No, he said, don't make me do this again. And I was like, really? And he's like, oh, okay, next year.
Okay. But Dan was great. His comedic timing is fantastic. I actually, now that I know that on Fox Sports Net, here's the reason I didn't know it was on Fox Sports Net.
Mm-hmm.
I only program in the high def channels. It's on standard definition. He's in low def.
Not on DirecTV. He's in high def in DirecTV.
So just Fox Sports chooses to not broadcast?
They don't have the dollars.
You know what? And they're losing the Lakers out here. This is big news. Time Warner.
TNT. No, Time Warner.
Time Warner is starting its own sports franchise.
$3 billion.
And they're just going to broadcast the Lakers and so far.
On both an English and a Spanish channel,
which is brilliant because there's over 2 million Spanish households here in the LA area.
$3 billion over 20 years.
So basically, prime ticket.
I want a piece of the Lakers.
Prime ticket gone from the Lakerland. Yep, yep. Channel 9 gone from Lakerland. And my gosh, people, we're talking about things that have been LA. The whole cable television thing came about.
They doubled Fox's offer.
Because though of the Lakers, they were on a thing called On TV when there was before there was cable. You pushed a button, the easy button, and you would get On TV.
That was easy.
And they'd show porn at night. They would show first run movies, and they'd show the Lakers.
Huh.
And there was just one channel. And
well, you know our cable channels back home in El Paso, Texas, KTLA and TNT and TBS.
Right.
And WGN, Chicago. Those were our cable stations.
Right. They were the
super
stations.
And we thought we were cool. Woohoo! We got cable!
Well, and that's why you're a Braves fan. And
that's right.
That's where the Braves, WTBS, what does it stand for? Wow, those Braves suck.
Yes. Not anymore.
No, but it was a great... Look, they won the division like 14 years in a row.
Yeah, We've covered a lot of sport. I'm glad that you pulled that.
We've covered a lot of sport here. We covered Premier League, Spanish Premier League, and we've covered now Major League Baseball, which pitchers and catchers reported yesterday.
Yes, I heard about that.
Very big.
Something about the guy that throws the ball and the guy that catches it had to show up to practice.
Yeah. And Jordan's regular season starts in like a week and a half.
Nice.
And how about Little League?
Little League.
When's practice?
Elena pulled a Brett Favre. She had retired. But she retired for the wrong reason. She thought that now that she's moved up a level, that having to try out for a baseball team meant that there was a possibility that she might not make a team.
She freaked out about Toronto. Oh, Elena.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking Emma.
Elena.
I'm like,
no. Elena.
Why would Emma ever have to try out
T-ball?
Elena. No, yeah, you have to go through tryouts. But it's not everybody gets in.
Right.
But it's to balance the teams.
Right. Well, she thought, because all she knows about tryouts is, you might not make the team because,
exactly,
you know, the TV shows that she watches. And I was like, no. And so once she found that out, she's like, I want to play again.
Okay.
So I went, Jeffrey, check this out. I went from not coaching and having my summer off to now coaching two teams. I'm coaching Elena's minor team and Emma's T-ball team.
T-ball, dude, it's in
T-ball
the sixth
awesome.
Year of T-ball, you just want to die.
Sixth year of T-ball.
Man, my thing was every because an inning in T-ball is everybody gets an at-bat.
Yeah.
And then you change sides, and then the other team, everybody gets an at-bat, and you're supposed to do this three times. Every single kid gets an at-bat. And how many kids are on our T-ball team? 20-something?
No. I got 11.
500?
I got 11 on my team.
Oh, we had a lot more than that.
Really?
Back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest team is 12.
Okay, we had more like 20.
And I've got 11.
And so
really?
Every single kid has to hit the ball. And this is T-ball where
you
even though it's on a
team. You can't complete one inning in an hour.
This is my point. So the way I coached it, Steven, was that once we got through the first inning, I kind of, a wink is as good as a nudge to a blind man with the other coach and be like, you know, shoot him a wink. And then we would, okay, everybody, Tunnel.
Yeah.
And all the parents, they put their arms and the kids run through. And the kids are happy because they did the tunnel and they get the snacks afterwards. And the new parents are like, boy, it seems like this went really fast.
We only play an hour. So
yeah, but this took about an hour. We only played one inning because I refused to keep going through that.
An hour or three innings, whatever comes first. And trust me, you don't get the three innings.
Man, it's painful. Oh.
I love it because the kids are fun. Look, Emma's out there, 4 years old, and she is smacking the ball off that tee.
Well, she's a good hitter.
She is. All right, one more piece of news before we get to the Super Bowl, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Displaced Super Bowl fans are receiving increased offers from the NFL. Now, let's talk about the displaced
now
fans.
So, as I referred to in my photo montage that I shared with everybody, but you couldn't see it given the medium of radio.
Thank you for sharing.
One of the pictures was a tarped-off section of the stadium. Directly across from Stephen and I was were in the western corner of the end zone.
Yes,
at the new beautiful Cowboys Stadium, and so close across from us, around the 15-yard line, was one large section of seats. I would say each section seated approximately 200, and they had covered it I don't know when they did it. As Stephen intimated, we were there many hours before the game began.
They did it while we were outside mingling.
No, see, because when I came back inside, those were still empty. And I'm like, why aren't those people seated there yet? And then I looked up, but this was before you got in.
Yeah, see, I came in way before you.
Way after me is what
I said.
And there's this black velvet tarp.
When I came back in from being outside, they were tarped off now. And then that's what, literally, I sat down and the chick came over and she handed us the
chick would be a runner intern for the NFL.
Yes, the runner intern and handed us the press release that the NFL released a statement.
There's an issue
that basically
with some
about 1,250 seats were declared unsafe by Fire Marshal Bill. Alrighty then. And then the NFL and the Cowboys started to scramble, and they found about 850 of them. They found 850 seats.
And as Didi asked, why didn't they ask you freeloaders to move?
We're the press, and we will write nasty things. Field day. I mean, we wouldn't, but everybody else would.
Trust me. The networks would. Oh, my gosh. They'd never hear the end of it.
Right. So they actually asked NFL employees, NFL family members.
Can you guys go home? Because we have people who paid.
I'm sure they accommodated them somewhere in the stadium.
I seriously doubt it, Stephen.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember the overflow media workroom downstairs where Rich had to be for a little while? Oh, gosh. That was a hole.
Nice.
That was a hole. In the bowels of the stadium, there was probably 700 people that were on their laptops watching TVs down in the bowels of the stadium. And that was that's the bottom rung of media.
Yes.
And, God, that would have been bad. We had lovely, lovely seats. They took over basically every other row was where they had seats. And in the off row, they had built a tabletop. So it was really nice.
Yeah.
So you could actually have your laptop there and power and for internet. Your laptop and Cat5 for your internet. And it was really cool. It was a nice setup. And the runners came by and brought us food and drinks and all the little press notes and stats and things. It was almost like being up in the press box, only our seats were better.
Yeah. So anyways, Jeffrey, so there were 400 remaining folks who had to watch from standing room areas or on television.
You know where they were put,
places
Steven,
where
they
couldn't see. They
were put down in the Miller Lite corridor where the players come through the tunnel.
Right.
So you can't even see the field from there.
Yes, as I was getting ready to say, no view of the field.
I'm always ready to say. So it's a really nice bar.
It is.
You're told you can hang out in a really nice bar.
You're watching on TV. So here's the deal. Brian McCarthy, who we know as PR guy on Twitter, is NFL spokesman.
That was Greg Aiello.
He's got a different tag.
Got a different handle on Twitter.
So the league emailed all the fans to offer either $5,000 or reimbursement for actual documented Super Bowl 45 expenses, whichever figure is higher. So you can provide me all of your receipts, the document that it's more than $5,000, we'll pay you that. So, you know, it went from give you a ticket to next year's Super Bowl.
No, first up was we'll give you 3 times face value.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Don't forget
that offer. Yes. Three times face value.
Which is probably about what you paid for your ticket.
To which I tell Jeff, some of those people probably didn't pay face value.
Most of them probably didn't.
So three times face value is $2,400 in those sections.
That's about what
they were
going for
about $3,000.
No, there's seven. There's like the top of the end zone. There was also problems
there. Were,
the,
I'm talking
no,
about
these
the,
were the 15 yard right, line the, ones.
Yes.
15 yard line
we're going
ones
for about $3,000.
Mezzanine level, 15 yard line. Those were about $3,000.
Yeah,
$2,700 to $3,000, and you're giving them $24,000. They may have lost money just on the seats.
Yeah, not to mention.
Airfare.
And then Jeff says airfare, hotel.
4 days
rental
hotel.
Car.
Steven, no hotel in the DFW area booked less than 4 days for the Super Bowl. You were locked into a 4-day hotel booking at an exorbitant fee.
So here was the first offer was $2,400, which is three times the face value for those seats. And a ticket to next year's Super Bowl. So there was a ticket. So it was
not originally. I swear to you, this is you're reading NFL.com.
I am. So
I believe what I remember, which was
I actually remember reading that. I have the notice original? They gave us.
Did you keep all
I
the
kept
press
everything,
releases?
Everything that got
at
handed
the end,
to me.
And there was 300 pages.
No.
I'm talking about the tables.
You big liar.
The tables.
Oh, no, in front of us? No,
yes.
I'm talking about the ones at the Super Bowl.
No, there was literally over 300 pages.
No, the ones given to us at the Super Bowl.
Do you know how many forests gave their life for that Super Bowl?
A lot.
Yeah. You know, if you go to Yosemite today.
I think it was just one forest.
If you go to Yosemite National Park today, it is just clear cut.
Why are you lying?
I don't know, because I smell comedy gold in there somewhere.
Somewhere. But anyway, so here you go, $2,400. Three times the face value of the affected seats and a ticket to next year's Super Bowl. Then the league added a second option, which was or a ticket to any future Super Bowl plus airfare and hotel cost, which was pretty good, I thought. Any Super Bowl in the future, and you're going to fly me there, and you're going to give me a hotel.
Right.
I'm good with that. Well, now saying...
Well, then there's... Don't forget the option to be a partial owner of the Miami Dolphins.
No, that was never added. Although that there's some gold in there.
Come on,
well.
That's funny. That is funny.
But you know,
ever since you baby called the Dolphins make me cry.
They should.
Well, and then according to NFL, as you may know, we have been reaching out directly to those fans who regrettably and inexcusably were unable to watch Super Bowl 45 from a seat in Cowboy Stadium. The email to those fans stated, in listening to your feedback, we have decided to offer a third option. And that third option is now you can have $5,000.
And a new car!
Or
a big new car.
We'll reimburse you for actual documented expenses that you incurred while coming to
now,
Super Bowl.
There's
45.
A hunch, Steven, that I have that if you take any of these options,
you
sign a piece of paper saying, I'm not going to sue you.
Yes.
It's just a hunch. I don't see it here in the article.
No.
But it's just a little voice inside my head that says,
that would
you
be
probably
pretty,
sign away your rights to sue.
Probably a smart thing from the NFL, don't you think? Because
big time smart.
There are some people.
There is two class action
lawsuits
going
that are already
going. Right,
yes, yes.
And I don't like people that go chasing after lawsuits, and especially the class action variety. They're usually weenie. You get the thing in the mail that says, you may be party to a class action suit.
And you get $3.
Sue. Exactly. Congratulations.
So wait a
minute.
The
lawyer's got $50,000.
Exactly. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You want me to attach my name to this so you could boost the number so you can make more money, but I'm only getting it at $5.
Exactly.
Yeah, no thank you. Take me off your stupid list.
And take your $5 and, you know, beep.
No, but here's the deal. Some of those, it was actually a lawyer who was at the game who apparently he claims his seat had an obstructed view and it's not what he paid for. So that's why he's suing. It was not the guy with the yellow hair. I think it was the lawyer who was sitting behind him.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go, yes.
The guy with the yellow hair.
It was obstructed view, and so he sued, saying that the ticket, because apparently in the state of Texas there's a law that
there
says.
There is a law, yes. And that law is in California.
Yes.
If there's any obstruction to your view, it has to say on the ticket.
And it didn't say on the ticket, and blah, blah, blah. So he started a class, and then somebody else started a class. Everybody's starting a class action lawsuit now.
They're all in a class by themselves.
They are. So, I had a great time. I'm sorry.
I had a great time, too. The weather was miserable.
Sure.
You know what?
But you know what? You can't control the weather.
You can't.
It's
going to
be miserable
storm.
Next year in Indianapolis. And you know what? I'm going to be there.
Supposedly, they keep you in hermetically sealed domes, though. Seriously, there's tubes, Steven, that connect every single building.
So you just walk from the
tubes?
Yes. So you don't have to. So we don't have to drive anywhere.
It might as well be underwater.
So we don't have to drive anywhere.
No.
And we don't have to go outside and endure the cold.
Exactly.
Because, like, I got... You see how it's blue right there?
Oh, dude.
I got frostbite right there on that finger.
I think I'm going to have to amputate. Let me get my knife.
Leave my finger alone.
Jordan tonight, we're at dinner, and he's wearing flip-flops. We're at Connell's.
Yeah.
And we're having supper. And he looks down at his feet, and he says, Dad, this is why I love L.A.
Flip-flops.
I wear flip-flops in February.
Yep. I was in shorts all day today.
I'm like, you're wearing a sweatshirt. He says, yeah, it's a little chilly out, but I could still wear flip-flops. I said, you know, if you were anywhere else, yeah, I know my toes would be numb. No, they would need amputation. They would require amputation.
It was beautiful today. I loved it.
It rained
Did I tell you
morning.
I played flag football on Saturday?
No, but my son told me.
Your son told you.
Yeah,
what am I doing?
Talk to me.
You've been busy.
Really,
you've been avoiding me. As a matter of fact,
I had to buy a fax machine. That's how busy I've been.
Yes, I know. So we're not going to get to that.
So,
but anyway,
I'm just asking.
So
our
Saturday,
listeners,
I play. Hey,
I'm asking our listeners if you need to buy a fax machine, why? All right,
there
now
you
go ahead. Tell your story.
So, you know Ed Blunt.
I know Ed well.
Ex-quarterback actually spent a season with the San Francisco 49ers, I found out recently. But anyways, Ed is, you know, he runs these flag football leagues all over Southern California. And he gives me a holler. He's like, look, I really want to build these leagues. I want to build them up. I want to get it big. I want to create a webisode where you basically just talk about the leagues and you're out there in the fields talking to people and, you know, and kind of
he wants to do a webcast about
the flag football leagues. Yeah, basically.
Interesting.
Right.
Well, if that can get on air, then we certainly have a spot in television.
Right. So he's like, and I want you to be the host. So will you come out this weekend and, you know, let's talk to me. Let's, you know, we're going to video some and then, you know, we'll play back some of the video and we'll see what you could talk about. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I go out there. Oh, and he says, and bring your cleats just in case.
Bring your cleats just in case.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I bring my cleats.
I'm just getting over a torn up knee or...
Quad.
Quad.
So I come out. I go out there, and I'm out there, and, you know, we're doing our thing, and we're, you know, hey, this is very interesting. Got a great idea. And then I actually pitched him the idea. I was like, well, Ed, why don't you pick your best game of the week, and we broadcast it online. We stream it online, and I'll do the commentary for you. I'll do play-by-play of the flag football game. And you broadcast it online. You tell all your players to tell their friends and their family who can't come and cheer them on at the game to watch it online.
Interesting.
He's like, that's a very interesting idea. So he's getting the setup now. That's what we're going to do. But anyway, I'm out there in this team. They need a player. I got my cleats. I'm like, let's play some football. Dude.
What'd you play?
I played. I threw the ball. I quarterback. And on
do you
defense,
ever play another position?
I go out for routes occasionally.
Okay, you're wide receiver or quarterback.
Yes.
If that's not diva, I don't know what is. Stay in and block.
Well,
you're wasting my talent.
Stay
in
and block. Yeah, you are. And actually,
you want to win? I'm sorry.
Okay, the cool thing is because, you know, I got a little extra pounds on me, this kid comes up to guard me. Because I went on a route. We switched quarterbacks and wide receiver. And I just kind of looked at the dude like, he's really up on me because he thinks that I can't run. Ran right by him. Touchdown. It was like, dude, I know
that.
I look big, that. But you got to respect. Yeah, well, dude never came up on me again.
Dude,
but anyways,
go ahead.
I also on defense, so to say that I'm not just a diva, I rushed.
Okay.
I rushed. And I had a quarterback sack. And I had a knockdown, which I almost
knocked,
I did the, almost the Clay
knock
Matthews.
Anybody down.
No, I knocked the ball.
Oh, okay.
He went to throw the pass. I jumped. I knocked the ball up in the air, and I was like
almost tipped it
this
to
close from catching it and taking it in for a touchdown.
That'd have been cool.
And so, anyways, this guy Kevin Mills, who is like, remember that dude when I did the shuttle and he was out there working out without a shirt?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So this is that's Kevin Mills. Okay, that's Kevin Mills. This guy that Jeez. Plays in the league. I mean, he's just ripped. And he comes up to me after the game. He's like, man, you're big, but you can still play.
Okay, I want to send people on that note to the article that Trisha brought to our attention on William Refrigerator Perry.
Yes.
I'm halfway through it. It's a very, very sad article.
Yeah.
ESPN.com. And just, I can't believe that they still have this.
So is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that what BJ Raji is going to become?
I hope not. Right now, you've got a 400-pound William Refrigerator Perry who basically gets out of bed at 10 painfully with a cane and then goes to a chair and only gets up to go to the bathroom and then at night drinks himself to sleep.
I don't want to.
You don't want to read that, Stephen. It bums you out. But for people who do enjoy tragedy and sad stories like that, go out to sports.espn.go.com/NFL playoffs 2010 news story and
all right,
look
I'm gonna,
up the refrigerator Perry.
I'm going to segue us back to the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh Steelers will sign defensive coordinator
Dick LeBeau
to a one-year contract.
Why only one?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Look, I had one of my nicer moments of Media Day, which I didn't think was that much fun. I wasn't a big Media Day junkie.
I had a great time.
I'm glad. But Dick LeBeau was up in the stands, and I liked meeting the guys up in the stands.
Right.
Kevin Green, Dick LeBeau. Gosh, what a neat guy. And such just
Dom Capers
you're
was up
sitting,
there.
I know, you're sitting with greatness. True masterminds of the game.
They had Marquise Pouncey up there because he couldn't walk.
Right,
because
of his injury.
I talked to him. He was funny.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
That's cool.
Yes. One final piece of note here. The Kansas City Chiefs, Jeffrey, they're bringing in someone to come tutor their quarterbacks.
Quarterback tutor. Okay.
Jim Zorn.
Former head coach of the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
Is now a quarterback coach?
No,
not really a tutor.
Quarterback coach.
Quarterback guru.
Quarterback
advisor,
tutor is what they're calling him.
A tutor.
Yes. He's a tutor.
I was the president of Harvard, and now I'm a tutor.
Okay. I think officially they are calling him a quarterback's coach.
A quarterback coach. See, most teams have the quarterback coach.
Yeah. A quarterback coach.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't drop any further unless you were...
High school? High school?
High school coach.
Mora. Oh, my gosh. That was a fun bit.
Jim's on TV now.
And you know what? And Jim's doing a really nice
job.
He's transitioning very well.
This Jim. That's the other Jim. This Jim. Jim Zorn.
Right.
Quarterback's coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. What is he going to do? Help Castle?
Yeah, well, he's going to make sure that the balls are properly inflated, first of all. That's the most essential thing you can do as a quarterback coach. Second of all, Stephen, piece of news that kind of bummed me out is that our good buddy Rod Woodson has left NFL Network.
I heard that.
And he has gone back to the Oakland Raiders to the Silver and Black.
To be their defense back coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I mean, I'm happy for Rod.
That means there's a spot at NFL Network. I'm going to go submit my name.
For a former player who's Rico Suave.
I'm not saying I'm going to replace him. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they move somebody up into his slot, and then that means there's a vacant spot down here somewhere.
Somewhere there's a Talboy at NFL Network that's a vacancy at Talboy.
I don't think they're going to make the Talboy go up to be the...
Well, the Talboy goes up to be the gaffer goes up to be the grip goes up to engineering, and the engineering guy goes into the studio production truck, and the studio production truck goes into the live... production room. Live production room guy slides over to cue card guy. Cue card guy slides over to sound guy. Sound guy slides over into the assistant chair. You know, it's just a giant chain of command.
Wow. So you're saying that I gotta start as the towel guy?
But eventually you will be on set running some of the when they do the drills and the demonstrations on the little mini field there on the set.
Yes,
you'll be one of those guys wearing t-shirts. You know, and they'll be telling you what to do. You're going to be the defensive back on this plane. You're going to go out for 5 yards. Okay. And then you just kind of in slow
motion
walk
through
it.
They don't want me. I will tackle somebody. They put me on the field.
You'll be fired.
You'll be fired. Hey, he said to hit him. So I hit him.
That was fun. That was fun. Nice gig. NFL Network.
Lasted 3 years.
That was good. Yep.
Until I tackled somebody.
Yep.
They wouldn't put me on air.
Nope.
You know who was cool? Steve Weiss and Charlie Davis.
That bit was awesome. So
he's like, you know what you just proved, right? It's like, what? That's why there's no black kickers.
Oh, my gosh. I'm dying. And then CD says,
yeah, but we can punt.
We can punt.
We got Reggie Roby, and he starts listing off. Yeah.
How hard is that to list off? Okay, we're gonna play trivia time. Black punters in the NFL. First of all, how do you know? I mean, again, yeah, they only have one crossbar on their face mask, but still, they're a punter. How do you know?
Oh man, those guys made me
and
laugh.
The
that
bits
awesome.
I've got to get that I recorded. I had time with Mason Crosby, and I had time with the other kid.
Sean Schweezem.
Oh, Schweezem. I went up to both of them and I said, there are people that have suggested that the kicker position is not a very respected position in the game. These guys, of course, have no idea about our show. And
right.
Our standard rant is
kickers.
There's a beat before that.
I'm sorry.
It's been that long that our standard rant is
kickers.
And so they wouldn't know that, but we were making fun of them. I was making fun of them in the interview. And so they got those interviews for you guys in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, that's
so
good
stuff.
So many
things to do.
All right. So can we get to the game now? Because, you know, we've just
been talking. I suppose.
Right. Super Bowl 45.
And again, for those of you who have trouble with Roman numerals, remember that the Super Bowl numbers always correspond with my age. So it's okay. It's like a mnemonic that you would use. You'd say, how old is Jeff? Well, Jeff's 45, so this must be Super Bowl 45. 45,
all right,
duh.
Jeffrey. Well, here's something for you. Here's something I started thinking about.
Don't touch me. Stop touching me.
Super Bowl 45 was our first Super Bowl.
Yes, it was.
If we attend 50 Super Bowls in a row,
I'll be 96.
It will be Super Bowl 96.
And do we go, why on earth don't you go to 100? You got to go to the Century Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If I'm that old, trust me, I'm going all the way.
You're
gonna, going
you're
to 100.
Gonna,
see, this
I
is
don't
where,
know if I'm going to make 96, though.
This is,
well, so let's
this
just
is
let's
where
cut
our
it
age
in,
differential.
Let's cut it in half. And we cut it in half.
Yeah.
And let's say we're going to make 25. Okay? Because that's more doable.
25
Super
consecutive
Bowl.
Super Bowls. I'll be 70. My dad died at 72. He died young.
Okay, so let's say 25. That's doable.
70 years old.
Dude was 79 and he was walking around interviewing every. I mean, he
was
interviewing.
In shape.
He looked good.
He
was in shape. But he looked good.
Look, he had a very high energy level.
Yes, he did.
Very high energy level. And given
so
my energy
be,
level
gonna be
right what? Now.
I'm going to be 67 and you're going to be 60. I'm going to be 66.
You'll be 66 and I'll be 70.
You'll be 70. There you go. And we say, we've been 25. Boom, we're out. We're done. We retire. It's over.
Never going to another one.
No, that's not true.
See, that's the problem.
But we want to let's set the goal first at 25 and then we'll assess, and then maybe we push it to 30.
This is Steven's way of doing goals is, you know what? I'm going to win an Academy Award, and then we'll see what happens from there. Steve Martin's two steps to getting $1 million. Step one, get $1 million. That's the end of the joke. And I don't know.
I don't think you have to say that's the end of the joke, though.
Well, you do because there's so many people out there. I don't understand. What's step two?
You just kind of leave a beat. And then you move on.
Well, and that was the classic. I always like this Robin Williams gag. I've got a joke for all the mind readers out there. And then there's a few laughs throughout the audience. Place 10,000 in the audience. Right. There's a few hundred laughs. And he just points to them. We know who we are. It is a great bit.
Yeah.
Because a few people clue in.
I guess apparently all the comedians have one of those. Because Howie Mandel used to do this one. Mm-hmm, that's an inside joke.
And a few people
laugh. People laugh like,
see? Yeah, they were inside the joke.
Yeah.
We've got a joke for all the mind readers out there. We know who we are.
All right, say cheese.
Cheese.
Cheese heads were everywhere. I got pictures of top hat cheeses. Cheese heads. Sombrero cheese heads.
Sombrero.
Did I show you the picture of the people selling NFL stuff? Two people were selling cheese heads. Two people were selling
terrible towels.
The terrible towels were $15, but the cheese heads were $30.
No duh. How much is a towel compared to a cheese head?
It's not real towel. Cheese.
No, then it would be $600.
It's styrofoam, dude.
It is a piece of formed content that has to be put into a mold and then dried, okay, and then shipped, and it's very large.
I don't know.
Versus
just,
a towel. How many towels?
Packer fans were getting jobbed.
Packer fans need to find a smaller symbol of their affection. And one, frankly, that's more effective. Because a terrible towel is quite a sight. When those towels start waving, and mind you, it was less than half the stadium that was waving them. It was quite a sight. Was
Packer
it not, Steven?
Fans got jobbed.
Look, a towel, a small towel with print on it. Terrible towel. Pittsburgh Steelers. Cost you probably.
That had the Super Bowl logo on it. I mean, a Super Bowl 45, Super Bowl logo, Steelers logo. It wasn't just a regular terrible towel. I mean, this was a Super Bowl terrible towel, man.
Yeah.
$15.
Which meant
and
it
then
had
right
to cost.
Next door,
it had to cost maybe 70 cents to produce.
Right next door.
Something that cost you $3 to produce.
Okay. So what's the markup?
5 cents versus $3. It's relatively the same price. And then the fact that to ship these from point A to point B, you can fit a million terrible towels in a container where you could only fit like 25 cheese heads.
All I'm saying is it was a little
slanted.
How much
slanted. Did it cost us to
it
ship our gear?
It was a little slanted to get more terrible towels in the stadium than cheese heads. That's all I'm saying.
I is all.
Yes.
But I don't agree. I think it's a cost thing.
All right.
Well. Cost of doing business.
So anyways, the interview was great because I'm asking the guy, I'm like, how come
how do you just
how
this?
Come it's $50 more?
Twice much to be a Green Bay Packer fan.
And the guy's like, I don't just know. Sell it.
I just work here.
I just sell it. So I asked the girl next to him, I'm like, come on, you got to have some idea. How come you're charging $15 more for the cheese head? And she's like, well, you know what? I'm talking to my manager.
Idiot.
Awesome. Oh, that conversation was great. All right, but we must move on.
We are moving on to Super Bowl 45. And you know what? Who got this most right, Steven, in my point of view, from all the predictions we had all week, from all of our lovely guests?
Who got it right?
Steve Weish.
Wow.
He said it's going to be a tale of two halves.
I thought you were going to say Steven Miranda.
No. Although Steven Miranda had much of this right. He certainly is the smartest man alive.
Yes.
To the best of my recollection.
I am the smartest man alive!
We should have had Adam redo Look. That drop for us without the stupid squeak at the end. Steven, how dumb are we? How dumb are we?
We were pretty dumb.
We had Sandler sitting right there for 15 minutes, and we didn't have him do I'm the smartest man alive.
We should have played the drop for him.
Oh, my gosh.
There was
what
a lot of
adults.
Stuff. We
what
didn't
adults.
Ask him about the longest yard.
We didn't even have it. We had two people do drops for us all week.
Three.
Did we get three? Yes. We got Vic the Brick.
We got Vic the Brick, Dallas Clark, and Wendell Middlebrooks, the high life man.
Wendell
and that's what I
was
going to play.
Favorite.
I wanted to play all three drops for you, but they have not been transferred to this computer. So I could not
anyway,
do it.
Steve Weish
Although,
went out.
Say goodbye to this computer, because from now on, we're recording on the laptop, baby.
It's all Macintosh all the time. Not because we're biased, but because it's simpler to stay on one platform. And if you can eliminate a computer, do it.
Yes.
If you can keep everything on a smaller device, do it.
Because I can see.
And we've got an old PC down here
and
that
you know
we can
what?
Kiss
if
goodbye.
If there's a PC, if anybody wants to purchase the PC that has
the
recorded.
Official 300.
No, it hasn't been around that long.
100.
But has recorded 250. Of the almost 400 episodes of NFL Rants and Raves. It is for sale now.
It's a freaking collector's item.
It is a collector's item. It is an HP
Operators
PC.
Are standing by.
I can give you, you know what? Let me give you all the stats on it, Jeffrey.
Remember, this is a free call. Operators are standing by.
It's an Intel Core 2 CPU, 1.86 gigahertz with 4 megs of RAM.
My laptop's
four,
got
sorry,
more
four,
than that.
4 megs. 4 gigs. Gigs.
My
four
laptop's gigs faster than that and has just as much RAM.
Okay, so who cares about your
rules.
Laptop?
My laptop rules.
My laptop rules. My laptop is 10 times better than yours.
It's bigger. It's not better.
It's bigger and better.
It's all
And
relative.
Just remember, ladies, Stephen's always
matters.
Bigger and better than Jeff.
I'm looking at my 2.66 gigahertz Core 2 Duo with 8 gigabytes of RAM. I love being big. Huge.
All right. Anyways, Jeffrey, Jeanette and Annette say hi, by the way.
Aw.
Yes.
When
they
did
said
talk to them?
They said you looked like you. They friended everybody who was at the club that night. Friended me immediately.
Yeah, not me so much. The House of Blues.
They were my college friends, Jeff.
Oh,
so anyways,
but
they,
that was nice.
But they said, "Say hi." Come on. I mean,
hi.
You should.
Hi. I'm saying hi.
All right, back. He's saying hi back.
Hi.
He's all sad because he didn't get friended on Facebook. The man who doesn't want any friends on Facebook.
I have. If I go into view my profile,
right.
I am now at, boy, they moved to 61 friends. 61 friends.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, more than half of those are family.
So anyways, Jeffrey, the final score, 31-25 of Super Bowl 45. Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdown passes. I said he threw four. He threw two to Greg Jennings. I said he'd throw two to Greg Jennings. I said the problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers was going to be their secondary. They had problems with their secondary. How did Steve Weiss do nail this better than Steven Miranda?
Well, he's smarter than you.
Okay.
And then he said it was going to be a tale of two halves. I like the way he put it. That basically what was going to happen was Green Bay was going to come out and dominate early, and then Pittsburgh would battle back, and they did, and that's what happened.
Okay.
What I loved about this game most, Steven, and I give you your props.
Thank you.
I have. You kicked it on this one.
I did. And I mean, Jeffrey is. We gotta make a plan for next week.
Well, the first thing on the plan, and before we go out and do our little 40-yard dash, is going to be a nice, good lunch. Because I ain't doing jack until I got a good steak in my belly.
Oh, okay. All right.
It seems only fair. If I'm going to have to be utterly humiliated, sure. That all bets should be cleared.
Okay. Although this isn't a bet. This is a part of the game that's
it's a punishment.
Been doing
so
forever.
So bets never need to be repaid, and punishments do.
I didn't say that. And
well,
I've,
but it was
I've inferred, made, I've
it
made
was
clear
inferred
no.
that the bet's not nearly as important as a punishment.
The
and
bet,
I'm saying if
the
I'm
punishment
be punished in a
has
humiliating
to do
fashion,
with the show. The bet had nothing to do with the show.
It was set on the show.
It was set on the show, but it wasn't a show thing. It's not like we do bets all the time and it's a show thing.
Some bets are show things and some bets aren't. When they're set on the show, then it's a show thing.
Okay.
How could it not be?
All right. If it's a show thing, we'll have lunch.
Yeah.
Schedule it next week. And then the following weekend, you're going to go run.
The same, right in that afternoon.
Yeah, that's...
Because then I'm going to cramp up after about 10 yards.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see you puking up the steak you just ate.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Bleh.
You can stop doing that. That's not good.
Bleh.
All right, so anyways, we will be doing that soon.
So what stunned me most about this game was that this game was a microcosm of both teams' seasons had they won. The Green Bay Packers went and had significant injuries. They had Charles Woodson and Donald Driver go down, and somebody else, too, I don't remember, go down with injuries in this game, and they still managed to find a way to get it done and to win.
Gotta win.
That was amazing, and that is the Green Bay Packers 2010 season. The Pittsburgh Steelers 2010 season was that they go, and they don't play that well. They don't play pretty. They threw a lot of intercepts. They turned the ball over. It's like, come on. And then somehow at the end of the game, they're still in this thing?
Yep.
And then they drive the field, boom, and they win. And people are like, smoke and mirrors. How the heck did they do that?
Yeah, the smoke and mirrors
The mirrors got left behind. There was some smoke and no mirrors. And as a result, they came up short and at 6 points short at the end. As they're driving down the field, and as I'm running to
and
the elevator.
It all comes down to another thing I said, Rashard Mendenhall. His fumble changed the complexity of this football game.
And I tell you, I still have yet to see the game again. Have you seen the game again?
Yes. Saw everything.
It.
Saw Christina Aguilera botch the national anthem. Saw the game. Saw the first
and
quarter. 14-0, by the way, was the end of the first quarter. 14-0 was the end of the first quarter. Trisha and I won a little bit of money in the Super Bowl
the
squares. Halftime. Black Eyed Peas. Steelers trying to come back and win the game. You could stop singing that awful song that she was awful.
It was a soundtrack to you.
Thank you.
You were doing great.
I don't need the national anthem.
It was a soundtrack.
And then the Pittsburgh Steelers seemingly taking control of the game, and boom, Rashard Mendenhall fumbles. The Packers go and score a TD. And the next thing you know, now the Steelers are chasing. But you know what? They go right back, march down the field and score. And then the Packers can put it away, but they can't. They get it to the 4-yard line. They can't punch it in the end zone. They kick a field goal. And you know what? It's only a 6-point game. And I turn to Jeffrey and I say, Jeffrey, I just saw this 2 years ago. Didn't you just see this 2 years ago?
Yeah, there was a guy, and he kind of stuck his toes in the corner of the end zone, and now he plays for the Jets.
And here, that's right, and here come the Steelers. They start marching on the field, but then first down, incomplete. Second down, incomplete. Third down, incomplete.
I don't care. It's Big Ben. He will find a way to get the third down completed.
Actually, a third, they gained five, so it was third. It was fourth and five. Fourth and five, and I'm like,
it's Big Ben.
It's fourth and five.
He'll do it with his legs. He'll do whatever he has to.
And it was incomplete, and that sealed the deal. And I asked Hines Ward, who was gracious in defeat, what did they do in that last drive? Because here I thought, here it is, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've seen them in this position all year long. All for the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in this position, trailing by under a touchdown, and somehow they managed to go down and score a touchdown at the end and win the game.
Always.
I expect that again. What did the Green Bay Packers do differently that did not allow you to march down the field? And he was like, they took away the outside.
Yeah.
They forced us in. He said, and I'll play this for you at some point, too.
When you dig it up.
I got to get the – oh, my goodness. It's been a
whirlwind. Steven, it's been just impossible.
I've been working too much, dude.
I agree.
Literally, it's like from the minute we landed, I was
I agree.
No more football. It's all work.
Minute we landed, I slept for 3 hours, and I really felt crappy because I'm sleeping.
I wish I could sleep for three
No,
hours.
I know, Steven. That's what I'm telling myself is what a lucky jerk I am. And that it's not fair because Steven needs actually
sleep.
Steven needs less sleep than I do. I need 7.5 a night. Steven needs 6 generally. But I can do 6 on consecutive nights, but at some point I'm going to need 9.
Right.
And since the night that
nine.
The night before, yeah, I know. Steven at that point is like,
nine, I'd be just...
he's like, after 6 hours sleep, that 3 hours, I've done 3 days work. And it's true. And so we had had what, 4 hours sleep that night?
Less.
Okay. I was trying to be kind. Maybe four, maybe three. We went to bed at midnight and we had to wake up at 3:30 to get to the airport. And right. So, just dragging a little bit, got home and was able to clear out enough things out of the calendar and move things around that before the kids needed to come home from school, I was able to squeeze in 3 hours of sleep. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it feels so much better. And then the first thought, you know where Steven is right now?
Yeah, working his butt off.
Steven's working right now. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, thanks for thinking about me anyways.
After a long nap.
It's very nice.
A long nap.
Oh, gosh.
It was a great game.
The Pittsburgh Steelers fall 6 points
short. The reason I asked if you saw it on TV yet is because, and I want to hear from people that only saw it on TV, which is pretty much everybody else. For those of you watching on TV, the Rashard Mendenhall touchdown or fumble, what was the vibe where you were right before he turned the ball over? Because the vibe in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium was that Mo had put on the silver.
It was all Pittsburgh.
The black and gold. The Mo was waving the terrible towels, and the buzz was palpable. And then the fumble, and my gosh, I have not felt a tide turn emotionally in a sporting event that quickly.
Yeah.
In my life. It went from, this is all Packers all day, all night. What a rout this is. If only this could have been a ball game. Oh, my God. The Steelers are going to do it. They're going to do it. Oh, crap. And that was, it was so dramatic. And I want to know if for people watching on television, please send emails. Please post up on the website in the comment section. Was it the same on TV? Could you feel it? Was it as dramatic as I'm describing?
Well, and here, I'll just to feed you a little bit more. The Pittsburgh Steelers had the ball at the end of the third quarter. It was first and 10. Mendenhall rushes for 8 yards. And that's
what's the
end.
Score at this point?
It's 21-17. The Steelers have come back.
But before the touchdown, take the seven away.
This is 21-17.
Right, but by this point, the momentum is built.
All Pittsburgh. Yeah, because remember, it was 21-3.
That's my point. What was the score before they started scoring?
It was 21-3. The Steelers had scored two unanswered touchdowns to make it 21-17. Okay, so it's 21-17. All of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the score.
Ooh,
how is this game not over?
This
Green Bay has outplayed them. They've turned the ball over freaking three times.
So the Steelers,
you should not be in this.
The Steelers force a Packers near the end of the third quarter. They force a three and out again. The Packers punt.
Dick LeBeau.
The Packers punt the ball. So the Steelers get the ball for one play to end the third quarter. It's a Rashard Mendenhall rush for 8 yards. They've got coming out of the fourth quarter. It's the first play of the fourth quarter. They've got second and two on the Green Bay 33-yard line.
This is a done deal.
They're down four.
They're going
21-17. Green Bay 33-yard line, second and two. They're going to go in there, score a touchdown, and all of a sudden it's going to be 24-21 Pittsburgh, and everybody's going to be like, what?
I remember this so well because it was
our
end of the
first
stadium.
Play of the fourth quarter, hands off to Rashard Mendenhall. Boom! Gets popped by Clay Matthew. Ball goes jumping around. Bishop picks it up, and all of a sudden, Packer ball, first and 10 at their own 45, right near midfield. A few plays later, bada boom, bada bum, bada boom, touchdown. Mason
Wind
Crosby.
Sails dead.
28-17, and now it's a nice, comfortable 11-point lead.
You got a big lead again, and now you can breathe easy. Yes. But never breathe easy against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, because on the very next possession, the Pittsburgh Steelers march right down the field. Oh, that's what happened. I forgot.
You forgot about the field goal.
No. It's 28-17, but the kickoff, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a really good return. Returned it all the way back to the 40.
Yeah.
And then just a few, they took 7 plays. And they scored a touchdown to make it 28-25 because they had the really nice tricky option reverse to Antoine Randle
so
off for the two-point
conversion,
which, by the way, 5-1 odds in Vegas had you placed a bet on there would be a two-point conversion scored.
Some
in
of their
Zumba.
Little fancy fancies. You sure it was 5-1, not 25-1?
No,
was the
it was 5-1.
It was a 25-1 that
was,
hit.
I don't know which one that was.
That Pittsburgh would score 30 points.
No,
because they didn't.
They didn't.
Yes. No.
The Steelers would have three turnovers or more?
I don't know what. So one of the major bets, Vegas basically got destroyed.
They did. They got killed. Well, the Packers covered and they went over.
Yeah.
For
and
the
that
game.
Was the worst case scenario was for that to happen, and it happened.
So all of a sudden, we've got a three-point game. Oh, and lo and behold, they're still 7 and change.
That's a lot of time.
7 and change in the fourth quarter.
So
but
much time.
When the Pittsburgh Steelers needed a stop, they needed to force a three and out and get Big Ben the ball back, they couldn't. The Green Bay Packers chewed up 5 minutes, 27 seconds, culminating in a 23-yard field goal by Mason Crosby to make it a 6-point game, 31-25, leaving only 2 minutes and 7 seconds on the clock for Ben Roethlisberger. They went first down, they got a 15-yard completion, and then 3 plays, 4th and 5, game over. And that's how it ended. And it really was at the beginning of the fourth quarter. The Steelers had all the mo, 14 unanswered points, 21-17, Green Bay 33-yard line, boom, that fumble, and it was over.
What bummed me out is that I had said on TV, we did a bunch of brief pieces for Sky Sports Television, and told them for Sky Sports News TV, and we each had players that we did a 30-second spot for, a little highlight, and mine was Mike Wallace.
Yes.
And he's the guy who came up empty-handed on those big bombs at the end, on 3rd down and 5, 4th down and 5. Mike Wallace was the guy, and I said in my piece, when it's 3rd and money, and you've got to make the play, it's 4th down, you've got to make the play, Mike Wallace is the guy. And he was. He was targeted. But he didn't come up with the ball. And it
all I
really
know
wasn't
is
thrown
that
well.
Couple
and
years
Ben
ago,
Roethlisberger wasn't that good.
A couple years ago, it was Santonio Holmes. And I think the Steelers missed him a little bit.
They did. But you know what? The fact is, Ben did not play that well.
He didn't.
He played good enough. Yes, but he. I mean, those picks.
But Jeff,
one of those
look
picks.
At,
was
look
egregious.
At his past two Super Bowls.
He is.
He's played good enough.
He played.
It's not like he was
horribly
playing lights
in his
out.
First Super Bowl.
Right.
His quarterback rating was like less than 50. And then he played reasonably well. Quarterback rating was around 80, I think, in the next round. And this one, I don't know what his QB rating was.
But still, good enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the fact that he turned the ball over as many times and that they were driving for a win
well, the
is
first,
truly remarkable.
The first turnover, the first interception, which got returned for a touchdown, he got hit as he released the ball. So I wasn't sure, you know, watching it live, but now that I've seen the replay, you could clearly see that he gets hit just as he releases the ball.
Yeah.
So the ball is short and it gets picked
off.
That
again happened our end of the end zone.
Right.
I saw him get hit and I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah. It was,
here
it
comes
was,
a floater.
Yep. And that's exactly what it was. Got picked, returned for a touchdown. So that wasn't his fault. The next one, the next interception is, it was clearly his. I don't know if it was clearly his fault, but he and the receiver were not on the same page.
Nope.
That's right. It was Mike Wallace not finishing the route when Bishop jumped in front of him. You got to run across the corner's face, man.
A lot of the heroes that would have been Super Bowl heroes had they won the game on both sides, the wide receivers were really good sometimes and really not good sometimes.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson, just egregious drops on some balls.
But
and
the
at
dude
the same time,
was balling.
I mean, he basically almost tied some NFL records for Super Bowls with like 11, God, I don't know how many passes he caught. He caught nine balls.
Nine for over 140.
But he dropped four or five that were just really passes that need to be caught. And at one point, I was telling Steven, we were playing back and forth Super Bowl MVP game. Who's going to be the Super Bowl MVP? I'm like, you know what? At this point, I got to give it to Jordy Nelson. I know he's had some drops, but the dude has caught, you know, one touchdown pass. He's reeled in 100-plus yards catching.
Yeah.
I got to give it to him. And then Aaron Rodgers goes and throws another touchdown pass to make it three, to go over 300 yards.
Right,
and Steven says, he's gone over 300 yards.
Yeah,
it's done.
It's
all his.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
It's the sexy, sexy quarterback, as always. They get all the glory, and Aaron Rodgers won.
Yeah,
and
like
he deserved it.
Three TD passes, over 300 yards, no picks. Yeah, that's your MVP.
Your MVP. Congratulations. Ben Roethlisberger's quarterback rating was 77.4.
Wow.
Which, again, you know, for Roethlisberger, remember the NFC Championship game. Coach, why am I blanking on his name these days?
Mike McCarthy?
No.
Who are you talking about?
I always want to say Tice, but it's not.
Minnesota Vikings?
No, that's my point. I know who it is.
Well, who are you trying? Who are you talking about?
Steelers head coach.
Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin, Tice, TT. There, that's my problem right there. Tomlin. Tomlin said, you know, he didn't realize, and he was being sarcastic, he didn't realize Ben had played so badly until he looked at the stats in the NFC Championship game because his numbers were not that good, but he played well.
Right.
And sometimes the numbers don't tell the story, but in this case, I think they did. You know, you had two touchdowns, two picks, and it was unfortunate because Ben generally plays better. I think his leg was hurt. We saw him on that one scramble play where he ended up out of bounds, kind of limping a little bit, and I think that's why he didn't use his legs as much as he usually would. I take my punishment like a man. I believed. I was glad that this was not last year, where I took the New Orleans Saints by default because I didn't really think they had a hope in hell. But I had to make it up the one game that I was behind you. But this year, I truly believed that the Steelers would beat the Packers, and I was wrong. So I'm okay taking my punishment when I actually believed that. It would be unfortunate if it was, you know, I was just trying to make it up, and I didn't actually get it, make the pick I would have made
right,
if I weren't chasing. But I was chasing. But in this case, I truly believe the Steelers were going to win. I was glad you made the pick because if you had chosen the Steelers, I would have taken the Packers.
Right.
No matter what, because I hate to lose.
Yes.
And I will take my punishment like a man.
Good. I was just, I think there were only two people that took the Steelers of all the people we interviewed.
Yeah, it's really amazing how few people were on the Steelers' side.
Yeah.
That was disturbing.
I'm actually a little upset, you know, I didn't. Head over to Vegas before we went to Dallas.
And, we had time to burn. That's all we had was time to burn.
We had no time. And speaking of that, we've got no time
because
here.
Because we spent so much time setting up the studio again.
Yes, and here we are facing the
They'd be witching
end
hour.
Of 11 p.m. here in Los Angeles.
There's and no Jeffrey, place like home.
This book will always now remain. I love Brett Favre.
Good. I'm not sure what he had to do with the game, but good.
Here's well, how you know what he had to do with the
Aaron
game?
Aaron Rodgers.
He cheered for the Packers.
Well, I would hope so.
Would you? I mean, he was a Viking at the end of last season.
He is looking to go into the Hall of Fame as a Packer, I am sure.
He better go into the Hall of Fame as a Packer.
Trust me. If he's going to go in and just try and stick it to people, he should go in as a Jet, okay? Because that was a miserable season.
It wasn't miserable until the end. It was a great season up until the final four games.
Aside from the shooting, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play?
It was great. I loved it better than Pirates of Penzance. All right.
Steven, that's funny.
Okay. Let's move on. It's time to move on,
it's
actually.
So
when we come back.
My hard drive's full of video. I can't back up my computer anymore.
You should give that to me.
I can't back up my computer.
I thought you were going to give me the video. Didi hands me the camera. I'm like, he can't
what
just give me the stuff that he's already imported to his
I
computer.
I was hoping that you would find stuff on there that I didn't have.
I see. Okay.
So I just gave you the whole dang camcorder.
All right. Well, I will be working on that this week. Show donors expect some stuff. Show donors expect a ballot, an email to come out soon,
the
ballot
the
for the Ravies.
The sixth annual Ravies.
The sixth annual Ravies.
And by the way, we have it on very good word that Joe Montana is going to be hosting.
Why? Why? Why would you
use stuck it to us?
He did. He did.
That's why.
And trust me, one of these days, it's going to be where it's going to be a situation where Joe Montana is going to want to sell something, and we're going to be like, you know what, Joe?
Can't fit you on our schedule.
I got no time for you, buddy.
You know what, Joe? Be here at 9, and we'll be having breakfast.
You know what? Because karma, it goes
it's
around.
Funny thing that karma.
Yes, it is. I knew a girl named Karma.
Karma, chameleon.
And on that note, this is Steven Miranda
and Jeff Ellis.
Congratulations, Green Bay Packers!
You were the world champions
for the fourth time.
Couldn't happen to a nice
sitting
bunch of guys.
On top of the world, the Green Bay
They're
Packers.
On the top of the world, looking down on the Steelers.
I'm going on record right now. Neither
I
of the Super Bowl
find.
Teams make the playoffs next year.
Oh, no. This Green Bay Packers team will be back in the playoffs. You can count on that.
Can you?
Count on that. Yes.
Better Bears team, better Lions team, better Vikings team.
Yeah, count on it.
All right. You've heard it. Steven Miranda, Jeff Ellis, NFL Rants and Raves. Good night.
Come.